brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Oh, yes, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. This is Made Man Bob. Joining me today are Made Man Brent.
It's a pleasure to be here. Are you guys going to untie me after I review everything today? You promised me, right?
We don't know.
Don't complain.
There's people who pay good money to see you on the internet right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he has an OnlyFans page. You'd be surprised how much money he makes off of it.
It's $1.75 a week.
You'd be very surprised. And we got good old boy Justin.
Good morning. I don't know if we should untie him, but we should at least put his pants back on. It's drafty here in the basement.
He's done sampling. You just put the ball gag back in.
Oh, there you go. Stop complaining that way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't have to listen to it anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, go open the crate and bring out the gimp, will you? Yep. So. And good old boy Harmeet, speaking of the game.
Thanks for having me. I'm afraid and in the dark, and I want to leave now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, it's just, well, hold on.
What?
There you go. All right, well, our sip segments are all about coffee, distilled spirits, tea, anything you can drink, wine, beer, sangria, you name it.
We haven't done a coffee episode in a while, though.
Well, we don't do them. They do them at the home office, so.
Well, that's them.
Well, you get on a plane and fly up there, I would tell you. Just because you like Sanka? I don't want any. We've got company. With that one Maniscalco, the one comedian. We've got company. Would you like some Sanka? Yeah.
I want to do the Jean-Luc commercial.
Well, today's sip segment is all about whiskey. So we are.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
All I have is a bottle of very, very, very old scotch.
Whiskey. There you go.
I was happy when you said whiskey, not when you said scotch.
Oh, come on, man. Don't be that way.
Come on. We got Star Trek, Scotty, scotch. It's all good.
Yeah, it's a good day. So here's the whiskeys we're going to be tasting today. From Aaron, we have the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Port Cask, the Aaron Single Malt Whiskey Amarone Cask, and we have the Aaron Sauterne Cask. And from the folks at Signatory, we have their Glenlivet 2007 Unchill Filtered Collection. We have the Signatory Pulteney 2008 Cask Strength, the Signatory Glen Grant 2000 Cask Strength, the Signatory Coahuila 2010 Cask Strength, and the Signatory Kleinleash 1990 Cask Strength. So let's move on to our sips ratings, and we're going to have Justin tell us about those.
It's not Scottish, it's crap.
Yeah.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Ganga Dean, water.
Ganga Dean, bring water. Bring water.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Sounds like if, Sean Connery suffered a traumatic head injury. Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Yeah.
Yep. For
three.
Sure.
Three sips.
Interesting, but what was this again?
For a minute there, I got Puss in Boots. Did you get that? Yeah. It was like a cross between Puss in Boots and Zorro at the very beginning of that. So,
yeah,
okay.
He was there.
Moving on.
Four sips. Let's keep the secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
I don't know what that was.
I think that's from Kazakhstan. I think that was Borat, I think.
That wasn't quite Borat.
Kind of Borat.
Five sips.
Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
That was Schwarzenegger.
That, yeah, oh he was virgin.
Get to the chopper.
Yeah.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. That was Hans and Franz.
Hear me now and believe me later.
That was Hans and Franz. That's basically what that was. Yep, okay.
That it was.
All right. Well, rarely do we go into the toilet that quick. So, good Lord. So let's have Brent tell us about our first whiskeys.
Thanks, Bob. The Aaron Distillery was established by a group led by Harold Curry, a former director at Chivas Brothers and a D-Day veteran. Looking for a good water supply, they chose to build a distillery in La Carranza near the Loch Dunedavy on the north end of the island of Aran. The initial distillery construction was delayed when a pair of golden eagles took up residence at the site, but was finally completed in 1995. Did they shoo away the eagles, I wonder?
No, they had a barbecue.
Yeah.
they read the next sentence. They put them on the label and the cork.
Yeah,
I know.
They're part of every label. Yeah.
Their bottles today feature two eagles on the label and a cork as a nod to their former visitors.
They turned the eagles into glue, and that's how the label's attached.
The island has a long history of distilling, once being home to nearly 50 illicit distilleries. The most recent legal distillery on the island closed in 1837. Their visitor center was opened in August 1997 by Her Majesty the Queen, who was presented with two casks for Princess William and Harry.
They're keeping the Harry one.
Yep.
They poured that one out.
In 1998, the first cask of Aaron was opened after 3 years of maturation by Scottish actor Ewan McGregor. For the first legal dram, Mad Eon, on the island over 160 years.
Obi-Wan drinks this scotch.
It's
got to be good.
Yep. Aaron was expanded in 2017 with the addition of a second wash still and a second spirit still and an expansion of their visitor center. So with that, we're going to get on to the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Port Cask Finish. It's 50% ABV, 100 proof, non-age stated. This whiskey was matured for around 8 years before being finished in used port casks. So the color of this is a light straw color. It's on the nose. The first thing I thought of when I had the nose was baked apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
It just came right
with
through.
With a lot of cinnamon on top.
Yeah, and you know, it's like that
crystal sugar.
That grandma's baked apple pie that you get. It's just just a little bit of vanilla after that. On the palate, there was some vanilla, definitely some oranges in there. You know what? I didn't get that apple pie, which was what, you know, you have that, but the palate was just as amazing as the nose, but completely different. And that's hard to replicate that sometimes. But a little splash of water, and it's really opened up with the oranges and the honey notes a little bit. The finish just doesn't end. I am very pleased with this one. This one really, you know, makes me want to drink more. I mean, we've had their stuff before and I've loved it then, and I really enjoy this one as well.
What do you think? I am very aroused.
What do you think, Justin?
So this spirit on the nose and its palate, it's very, very clean. And I mean, all the other notes I agree with, but super clean. What'd you think, Harm?
Sorry, I'm having a little coughing fit. The problem with whiskeys of this strength is if you have them in your mouth and then you inhale to speak without swallowing first, that's called a rookie mistake. I did that earlier. This whiskey is beautiful. It's beautiful. Like you said, it's clean. I didn't get as much citrus as Brent said until it opened up with air. The orange really came out, but before that, it was all about baked apples.
Yeah, after you add the water, the citrus really comes through. So
And the peppermint's there. And some these nuts. I don't know what that's roasted like almonds.
Yeah, I really didn't. I couldn't figure out the nuts at all. I really didn't get the nuts on there too much at all for me.
It's like roasted almonds, like almost like a Marcona almond. It's like it's light.
The Marcona almonds. Yep.
And I love the way it tasted before water, but after water it got better, and it lingered. Even it stood up to it, and the finish got longer.
The water didn't affect the finish at all.
No, the finish lasts forever. It just does, it just sticks around, and it doesn't leave.
And it ends with like a hint of mint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the cleanliness.
Yeah, that's that fresh.
That's why it's that fresh. Yeah.
It's that freshness. That's that mouthwash freshness.
It's better than Scope.
Yeah. Well, that's high praise. Yeah.
That's what they're going for. Yeah.
You can be drinking mouthwash or you can be drinking.
Well, it's honestly, this is just another winner in the line from Aaron. I mean, we did a show featuring quite a lot of Aaron products not that long ago, and it was one of the most shocking shows in the fact that Brent loved all of them. And
not that we buy one.
And we all of us liked them, but Brent liked them too. You know, they're killing it.
Drugged.
They're I mean, the guys in Aaron are absolutely killing it. They're putting out some fantastic spirit. I have yet to have anything from them I don't like, and this is absolutely fantastic whiskey.
I had some I didn't like, but that was when they first, from some of their earlier stuff, they had a couple bad barrels that we got in Florida. But that was it. And that was almost 20 years ago.
And we
since then it's been fantastic.
I remember a mutual friend of ours purchased some barrels from Aaron for one of his labels, and I just remember drinking and going, my God, this is fantastic stuff. It's just, again, baked apple pie on the nose, cinnamon and baked apples, a little bit of peppermint.
Yeah. I haven't had a bad whiskey from them in the last 10 years.
No. And on the palate, it's just beautiful fruit. I get the nuttiness. The citrus notes are huge. The finish, like he said, the finish gets longer when you add water, which is just absolutely counterintuitive. And the finish was already long. And the end of that finish is that mint, that wisp of coolness. A fantastic whiskey. And one of the times, like we always talk about, you know, when you're cask finishing, you're not trying to cover the whiskey, you're trying to finish finish it up and fill in the holes. This one did it well. So I like it.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Port Cask finish. Just a fabulous whiskey all around. Again, as we always say, the cask finish is meant to enhance the whiskey, not cover the whiskey up. And in this case, all it did was just take a really good whiskey and elevate it. Fantastic finish.
This is my only caveat here, Bob. When you think of port casks, I think of red fruit.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that here.
No, it's a very unusual finish. I was expecting different from what I got, but I'm glad what I got because it's fantastic. But all in all, we're gonna be rating the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Port Cask finish. A well deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
If you find that one on the shelf, grab it. So let's go on to our next whiskey, and we're going to be doing the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Amarone finish. Again, 50% ABV, 100 proof, no age statement. This was finished in a selection of Amarone wine casks. The wine casks used for this bottling were sourced from an artisan producer of Amarone in the Veneto region of Italy. So it's got a really nice, almost sort of a reddish bronze color to it. On the nose, when Brent and I were doing it the first time, we just looked at each other and just went cherry, 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 cherry. The tasting notes from the distiller, though, are absolutely dead on. I mean, I don't know who's writing their tasting notes for them, but they're absolutely dead on. They've got cherry. I got the chocolate, and then the Turkish Delight is absolutely there. It's got a beautiful nose on the palate. Hold on. On the palate, I definitely get the pears. I get a huge cranberry on it. Get a little bit of a honey sweetness. And the finish goes on. It's got a nice finish, medium to long. Still get the cherries, get a dark chocolate. And I still get the stewed pears on it. I mean, I really love this one. Really great one. What do you think, Harm?
I have to disagree with you, Bob.
Well,
not agree with their tasting note. About, first off, Turkish Delight to me is a candy that has too many different flavors. I can't call that a flavor. Because Turkish Delight comes with like rose, comes pistachio.
First off, we know you're lying because your mother doesn't love you and she never gave you any.
I had to buy them as myself.
Exactly.
As an adult.
There you go. See?
So I had already developed a palate. Mm-hmm. I was not scarred by your weird candies as a child. Because in India, we don't give you candy. You get the belt unless you get all A's. I got one B once.
Your mom messed up. You needed more belt.
My daughter came up with this herself. She goes, because she came home with a B. She goes, I said, you got a B? I said, I know B means belt. And she came up with it herself. This is the kind of pressure she puts up with at home parents.
You take a belt to that girl, I will come over and beat your rear end.
But anyway, I've had Turkish Delights, and to me that doesn't make sense to me. The cherries and chocolate I will give you. There's a hint absolutely. Of raisin. And you said you got the poached pear. I don't get the poached pear here.
Front of the palate, really? When you first sip it, yeah.
Mm.
Just at the very front, and then it's gone. Swallow.
Yeah, remember that.
Swallow, don't inhale.
Rookie mistake. Mm-hmm. Trying to talk to you with the still whiskey in my mouth, yeah.
At the first sip, it's there, and then it's gone.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to you. There's definitely orchard fruit there.
Yeah.
But other than that, the flavors just go well together. I think they did a great job. And I don't normally with Amarone, like with the port cask, I didn't get that traditional port cask taste. With Amarone, I'm used to chocolate and raisins, wine itself.
Yeah.
I'm getting the chocolate, but I'm not getting the raisins.
Yeah, this is different.
There's no raisins.
Well,
on
and
this
honestly,
one.
A lot of the Amarone finished wines, a lot of the Amarone finished whiskeys I've had, I have not been a big fan of. It, you know, I mean, some casks make great whiskey. Some, you know, it's like everybody's trying to do a tequila cask with bourbon and it just doesn't work. It's like, just give up.
I've had a mezcal cask with rye that worked. Yeah, but that's about it.
Yeah, but few. And Amarone has never been one of my favorite for finishing whiskeys. But this one, like you said, it's not a typical Amarone finish at all. It's very, very different. And I think that the flavors all work so well together. What do you think,
Justin?
There's
a floral note too. I can't identify. Yeah,
Justin, I can't. I can't put a finger on that. Yeah.
After water, I got mesquite toasted peach pie with a mint finish.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
So you take peach pie, put it on the grill.
Okay,
I'm
with you there.
Smoke it with mesquite.
I've never done anything remotely similar to that.
And then it finishes. Mint strong after water. Before water, it's what you guys said to me.
Yeah, I do pick up a little bit of that smokiness.
Humor him.
No, I do with water because I just added water. I don't know about the rest of it, but there's a smoky dryness to it.
Peach, and I love peach pie. I'm not getting that short.
It's in the
that
middle.
Crust.
Finishes mint.
All right.
Starts.
I'll give you the mint finish. I'll give that to you.
Peach pie in the middle.
And it does have a.
It's brief.
It does have a sweet spot in the center of the tongue. I just can't really identify it as anything in particular.
Yeah, when I went to Georgia. Had peach pie. I was like, that's it. But it's. Just,
I think you're just.
It's
you're
ephemeral.
Just, you're just remembering that peach pie with
yeah,
loving.
He's, yeah, he's just fantasizing about peach pie.
Well, that's certainly possible.
Yeah. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, so my brother-in-law, he has a pear tree in his backyard. Every year we get different pear jellies. And this reminded me, like, if he made a pear cranberry jelly with honey, that this would be it. Like, this would be exactly what it would taste like.
I'm having a hard time getting the pear. Do I need to add more water to it?
The pear comes right off for me. It comes. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's one of the first things I noticed. I was like, wow. And I just imagine him making a jam out of this and sending it off in for winter time for everybody. It would be a nice little treat. He uses lots of different secondary berries.
Exactly. And,
you know?
and it's a fantastic flavor profile, but like Harm said, it's not what I was expecting when I tasted it as an Amarone finish.
Not at all whiskey. What I was expecting.
Same thing with the port. It was not what I was expecting. It was better than what I was expecting. And this also, not what I was expecting, but better than what I was expecting.
Yep.
I mean, really all around, just a fantastic whiskey. And we're going to be rating the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Amarone Cask Finish, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And for the record, I've never had a Turkish Delight.
We'll fix that.
You were you were a sailor. I'm sure you had, okay.
What he called Turkish Delight and what we called it are different things.
Well, what he called a Turkish Delight was what they refer to as a rusty trombone.
Oh, my God.
So, it's
don't look that
thing.
Up, kids.
Yeah, don't look that up. So,
don't Google it.
So let's go to Harm and have him tell us about our last whiskey from the folks at Aaron.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Our final whiskey from Aaron today is the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Sauterne Cask Finish, 50% ABV, 100 proof, non-age statement. This is matured in oak casks for 8 years and then finished in a selection of Sauterne wine casks, specifically selected by their master distiller for a talent from a talented small producer of Sauternes. So it's not Chateau Decam. It's a small producer and talented. I wish I knew who they were talking about because I really enjoyed this. The color is light gold, although I can't tell anymore because I've added so much water to it.
It was the lightest one we've had. Of everything we're going to have today, this is the lightest one.
Before the water, it was all about honey, and I just thought the nose was muted. And when I tasted it, it brought out some beautiful notes, but I couldn't quite figure out what it was. When I added water, the flavor and the nose exploded.
Yeah, this one needs water. Absolutely.
Yeah, this definitely. It went from golden raisins, and I could taste the botrytis, like from the Sauterne. There was so much good spice, and I can't read what I wrote here. What does that say? Hogwarts? No. No. Anyway, it was just beautiful. Let me just come back to it. So I'm seeing raisins, the botrytis there, honeysuckle, sultanas. Yeah, so this is, the palate's just gorgeous. Mm. All about golden raisin. All about toasty oak, honeysuckle and apricot. And on the finish, it goes a little soapy, kind of like violets, but it stays towards honey and a little bit of like that. That's just honeysuckle and grape. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, this one benefited from water more than any of the three from Aaron.
Yeah, it's just too muted without it. Brent, what did you think about that?
Yeah, on the nose, it's all orange. Orange is what comes out the most.
Don't get orange at all.
You don't get orange on the nose at all? Get that citrus orange note right on the nose?
It's just a hint of orange peel.
The orange peel, exactly.
Just a hint.
On the palate, when you open up use the water to open it up a little bit, it's like a white pepper explosion in my mouth. Like gives me that whole
the
nice
spice
mouth
is
coating,
huge.
Tingling all over the mouth. And you're right on the finish, you get that honey, you get those floral notes, really big floral notes on the finish.
I get more
finish.
Honeysuckle than orange. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's still not another one of these that they've hit it out of the park with this one. They've done an excellent job. If you're a Scotch drinker, you're going to love it. If you're a bourbon drinker, I think you're going to love this.
What do you think, Jasmine?
I got honeycomb, chili powder. That's pretty much what I got on the palate.
Okay, next.
A little bit of cumin.
I don't disagree with you with the cumin. It's just kind of like right the edge.
Right at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, just a very, very, very end of to very, very edge. It's that sort of earthiness kind of.
To me, that's more like the botrytis, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I can see why you went the cumin.
Yeah, we tried. We poured these. I tried it, and I thought, oh, that's pretty good. And then I added water to it, and it got better. And then I added a little more water to it, and it just exploded.
I didn't like it. I couldn't smell it without the water.
No. There was very little nose without the water, but once you added the water,
these go to 11.
Exactly.
Yeah.
fantastic whiskey. I'm really loving this one.
Aaron's been doing great things, man. I'm so sad about those first couple batches I got 20 years ago because I was like poo-pooing them for a while. Then now I've tasted the last 10 years.
We've done their line, and everyone loved their main line. Yeah. These are their latest cask releases. And for an upcoming show, we have the 21, and hopefully I've been promised to get a bottle of their 25.
Wow.
And they've only been around for 25, 26 years. So this is literally some of their first distillate. So I'm very excited about that. When we get that 25 in, I'll probably put it with the 21 and we can...
I'm sure, and of course, for things like that, I'm sure they pick just the best barrels.
Yeah, you know,
only the best of the best gets bottled from that.
But I mean, on the nose, there's that honey, and then I do get the citrus, but it's more like the pith on the citrus on the nose as it is for the peel.
It's
for me,
more it's bitter. The pith is more bitter.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to say bitter, but just not as sweet. Not as oily.
Maybe that's why I'm not saying it's orange to me, because Brent says orange and. You say it's pith, and I'm thinking.
Well, if you take the rind, versus if you dig a little too deep and get a little bit of the white pith with it, that's what I'm getting. So I'm getting that citrus note, but it's.
Let's agree to disagree on that.
It's got a beautiful honey to it. It's spicy white pepper.
100%.
It's got a little bit of a hold on. It's got a little bit of a salty maritime bit to it to me on the back palate. Just very, very, I think very.
You're
light.
Reaching there, man. You're reaching for the maritime note.
And I get it too.
Do you really? Yeah. You get that salty
on the back?
Yeah, on the back palate. Yeah, just a slight bit of salty sea air kind of thing.
I get. I'm not going to go for the obvious dirty joke.
I get the.
Brent is smirking.
Well, he's the sailor, so. And a beautiful finish that just goes on and on and on. An absolutely fantastic whiskey. Again, it's, you know, Aaron's a relatively, you know, new producer. I mean, they're in their 24th, 25th year, I believe. But they're hitting it on all cylinders. I mean, we haven't had anything from them in the last year or two that wasn't absolutely fantastic. So we're going to be rating the Aaron Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Sauterne Cascade. Well deserved. 4 sips.
That's classified.
Keep it coming, guys. Let us know what else you got, because everything that's come out has been really, really fantastic. So let's go on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that.
The Signatory Vintage Scotch Whiskey Company Limited was founded in 1988 by Andrew and Brian Symington and is one of the largest independent whiskey bottlers in Scotland. Independent bottlers have a long history in Scotland, with some of these companies tracing their roots back to the independent grocers in the 19th century Scottish countryside.
Oh my!
Purchasing casks and bottling them under their store's name. With some many distilleries in Scotland not bottling their own branded single malt, an independent bottler might be the only way you can try a single malt from that particular distillery. Some independent bottlers purchase new casks of new make whiskey and age it in their own warehouses with other mature product and bottle as it is, or take that aged product and finish it in a variety of different casks before bottling. Signatory is a little in the middle, mostly buying young casks with some age on them that show potential, then further aging them or finishing them in various types of casks before bottling them. Signatory's warehouse currently holds 4,000 casks of their maturing whiskey.
That's a small amount of casks, especially compared to anything down here in Kentucky.
It's more than I have in my whiskey room.
Yeah, than you can put in your garage.
Yeah. In addition
I don't know, I might get that many in my garage.
He might. In addition to the casks purchased from different distilleries in their warehouses, Signatory also has a direct source for one malt whiskey, having purchased the
Edradour.
Thank you. Edradour Distillery.
I've been drinking. Yeah.
2002. That's on the sobriety test. Saying that word failed. Signatory bottlings are all single casks.
Edradour is also Scotland's smallest distillery. They're famous for their distillery cat.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I got to respect a distillery that takes care of a cat.
That's right.
I don't hold it against them that they like cats.
I'm excited.
Distilleries need dogs.
It's not like a distillery. Distilleries need dogs. You know.
All right.
I'm excited to talk about the Signatory Glenlivet 2007 Unchill.
Moment the world has waited for.
Unchill filtered collection. It's 62.6% alcohol by volume, or 125.2 proof. And I sure didn't do that math. Distilled September 4th, 2007. It's aged 14 years. Matured in a first fill sherry butt. And the color is dark orange. But what does that really mean? Nothing. Because they can put their own caramel if they want to.
Not in this, they don't.
They don't.
Ah.
But well, they're allowed. It's a nice color. They're allowed to in Scotland.
Yeah.
Mostly blended whiskeys do that stuff.
On the nose, I got raisins, prunes, touch of grapefruit. On the palate, mouth-filling spice, black pepper. The finish, long and vibrant, and water takes it to another level. And what did you think, Brent?
Well, on nose, I got molasses and plum. And then the palate was huge mouth coating, just huge. I got a big sherry notes on it, the plum, raisins, cloves came through with the spices, the spice for me, and a nice, heavy, full finish. It's just this nice... It's a beautiful tingling sensation in your mouth and your palate, and you know, on your back of your palate for your finish. And I like how it doesn't stop. You know, when you talk about ones that you enjoy and you want to just sit back and relax, you can enjoy something like this because it's just going to last. You know, last the whole night, last forever for you.
This is nothing like their blended product on the shelves, which is also awesome.
What blended product?
Glenlivet's not blended.
Single malt.
Okay.
It's multiple casks.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Would you like to retract that statement?
No, but we can discuss it.
All right. Justin said blended when he meant Glenlivet. He meant multiple barrel products. But Glenlivet is a single.
They're standard single malts. Yeah.
It's a blend of, you know, several casks. Like I think it's 100 casks per batch or something like that. This is a single cask. So it's still a single malt, but this is one barrel. And Bob and I were discussing with you guys off the air was some of the best stuff from these distilleries comes from these independent bottlers. Yeah. Instead of here, let's take 100 barrels and make our standard everyday stuff, our most pedestrian, appeals to everybody. We have to make the same flavor profile every year after
year. Which is fine.
Which is what you do.
I mean, that's why you're selling a lot. I totally get that, but it's different.
These guys are going for unique. This tastes like no other Glenlivet you've had.
Nothing like any.
It's
other
a single barrel product. They made. Let's see. Is this right here? They made. This is a barrel number 900662. There's only 611 bottles of this made. If you want this exact one, they could
send me the other 610. I'd be perfectly happy with it. But
so this is going to be unique.
That's why we love doing the independent bottlers. I mean, you know. Folks like Signatory, a lot of times, some of the best whiskeys from the various distilleries we get from the independent bottlers, not from the distilleries themselves. Now, not saying they're not putting out a good product, but because you're targeting, you're throwing a dart at one barrel at a time. So they're able to pick out some of these, you know, sunshine barrels, that God shown his light upon them and said, that's going to be a good one. They're able to pick those out.
Bob, I want the barrel with the halo around it. That's the one I want. Now,
we've had a few of those.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
if this bottle disappears, don't look in my house. Just be wasting your time.
Yeah, like the best Kalila I've ever had was actually a Signatory Kalila.
It was always not from Kalila.
It's not from Kalila.
Yeah. The coolest Kalila I've ever had has always been from somebody else. I don't know why.
Porter McPhail makes a good one, but I had a Signatory one that was amazing. You know?
Yeah.
So these guys just go to these distilleries. They get to pick through any barrels they want, and then
just like
buy
when store picks
with our
Lucky Seven or our Elijah Craig. I turned down 16 barrels of Elijah Craig before I got one I liked.
Right? Are they bringing these guys like 6 samples and say pick one if you want?
Or I don't know if they're going there and trying.
These guys are going there.
Yeah, they're probably going.
And they're probably not doing that. They're probably like doing like we did. We'll taste 10, said we don't want anything. Come back another time, taste another 10. You know.
But you know what? But with this one, they picked the right barrel.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
and they did their own aging. And they moved it to their own warehouse. So you've changed some of the factors. The variables are changed.
They've added value.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic barrel.
So anyway, I as for the tasty notes, I got more butterscotch and caramel when I first approached it. But the tasty notes are kind of gelling with what you guys said. I'm getting it's like a fruitcake. It's like a really golden brown fruitcake with tons of butter. There's dried fruit. There's pastry. There's bread. There's vanilla.
Not the one you get from your mother-in-law, say thank you, and throw it in the trash. This one's good.
And if you're a sherried scotch fan, this is the one you want.
Like I lived in New Orleans, and there was a Franciscan friars who used to make fruitcake. People would come from other parts of the country to buy their fruitcake. This is that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Signatory Glenlivet 2007 an extremely well-deserved.
Oh,
5 sips.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without hesitation. Yeah.
So we're going to move on to our next one and have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The next one is the Signatory Pulteney 2008 Cask Strength Collection, 56.2% ABV or 112.4 proof. This is distilled May 27, 2008. 13 years old, matured in refilled bourbon barrels, and finished for 44 months in a fresh sherry butt. The first thing I'm going to say about this is I don't want to give you my tasting notes without the water, so add water, because pre-water was...
You didn't like it at all.
I did not care for it one bit. I mean, I just didn't... There was nothing... I didn't care for it. I just didn't like it at all. So you have to add water to this one. On the nose, you're going to... The raisins come out. I get a little bit of a coffee on there
I'm getting oatmeal now.
You're getting some oatmeal?
It wasn't there before. It's after air.
Yeah. On the palate though, I get the raisins, I get the coffee, I get like a white pepper spice. Everything for me for the mouthfeel is all back palate. But the one thing that stayed the same for me from the water to the no water was a very kind of dry finish. And I had this, it's opening up a little bit more with the water, but it just hasn't got there yet as far as it's just a little bit too dry for me. But Harm, what do you think?
I have to agree with you. I hate agreeing with you, but I have to agree with you. This is the weakest one I've had from them today, but probably from for a long time. I do like Putney. I just think this barrel didn't hit it. This was not the one that God shined upon.
Yeah.
It was okay.
What it's not bad. You know, it's not a it's just compared to the others we've received them.
I'm not even comparing to the others. If you just poured this to me like I'm in a fancy restaurant,
I'd go, okay.
Like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
This is something you'd pour.
It's got a nice sherry note to it. I get some sweet sultanas on the palate. It's a little bit creamy.
It's just dry.
It's got a nice viscosity to it, but it is. It's a little bit dry.
It fools you because the viscosity is really good, but then the flavor's not there, and then it just ends like very tannic and very drying.
What do you think, Justin?
Well,
okay, he's done.
I remember like old Pulteney 17,
Yeah.
Paul Pulteney 21.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were getting some like really clean, serious apple action going on, yeah. Like you're drinking good fruit box.
Back in like 15 years ago, I think their best whiskey of the year.
Yeah. Now, this has that fruit. You would identify this as Old Pulteney in a blind test, but it's spicy and rich.
Yeah.
So I'll disagree with you guys in that I actually like the take on it because it's Old Pulteney different.
Well, and again, it's a single barrel.
Yeah. It's a single barrel and everybody's different.
Yeah, so they're all different. So that's the thing. Well, we're going to be rating the Signatory Pulteney 2008 Cask Strength Collection, 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next one from Signatory, which is the Glen Grant 2000 Cask Strength Collection, 57.3% ABV, 114.6 proof. This was distilled January 25th of 2000. It's 22 years old, matured in refill butts and finished in a fresh sherry butt for 19 months. Got a beautiful, dark, 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 rich color to it. On the nose, it's got a little bit... So a little bit of flowers, a little creaminess on the nose, but on the palate, burnt toffee, dark coffee, rich notes. It's got a very nice, rich, matured but not dry oak to it. Dark stewed fruit. Very dark whiskey. I'm absolutely loving this one. I mean, I'm a big Glen Grant fan anyway, but this is really well done. I mean, this one's really, really well done. What'd you think, Harm?
This one was kind of weird for me. It's 22 years old. It's 114 proof. I refuse to add water to it, which is different for me. Loads of raisin and chocolate. And the fruit, I had a hard time figuring it out. Now that it's had time to breathe, it's fig jam. It's cherries and fig jam, but not cherry jam, but like fresh cherries and fig jam.
No, I'll give you the fig jam. Absolutely, the fig jam. It's like eating a fig Newton.
I get the white flowers that you're mentioning as well. And wow, this is just such a beautiful whiskey. And the palate is just heavy, mouth coating. It's full of toffee and sweetness. And
it's dark and brooding and just... Oh,
this is Heathcliff on the Moors.
Exactly. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. What'd you think, Justin?
So on the beginning, I got nice oak. I got caramel. And then I got like brie and then Saganaki, which is the flaming Greek cheese with that caramelized little bits on the top.
It's not the cheese part. You're talking about the flaming the brandy. The Metaxa.
No.
Really?
I'm talking about
the actual
flaming cheese.
I know what Saganaki is, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to Greek Fest next week.
The little crispy bits of the Saganaki.
All right.
Just finishes there. And the finish is just a nice, vibrating, long finish. It didn't start that way, but after water, man, it really opened it up.
I haven't touched it with water. Should I do it?
I did. I didn't get a huge bump. It definitely opened it up a little, but
could be oxidization in time.
It's still dark and sinister and just like you said, Heathcliff on the Moors. I when I drink this, I think of a dark, foggy, rainy moor with werewolves.
Werewolves, definitely werewolves. Werewolves in a bottle?
Exactly. Yeah. This is fantastic. What do you think, Brent?
I enjoyed this one. When you mentioned the fig Newtons, those are that does that. I know you have that burnt that burnt toffee to it.
Yeah,
And it's got that
the
that
toffee
to
and
it.
The fig jam. Fantastic.
Exactly. So it's that and pleasant. I added water to it. I enjoyed it more with the water than without the water. I think
the water brought out more sweetness, but I think I like it either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's floral on the floral. Yeah. Fig Newtons and burnt toffee.
We're going to be rating the Signatory Glen Grant 2000 Cask Strength Collection, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
It's 5 and you know it.
I think it's 5, but we have some heathens at the table with us.
Heathens.
Can we stab them? Yes. All right. Stab him in the eye.
Yes.
So let's...
oop, hit my glasses again.
Let's go to Harm for our next one.
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
Oh, what do we got here? Kleinleash.
Nope.
Rosalila.
Kalila.
Oh, well, Kalila. I skipped one. Yeah.
You know, I didn't even take any notes on this. I just gave it a rating. I loved
it. Well, you're like me.
I'm going to do my notes live for you.
It's Kalila. You're already happy.
I'm already happy.
I understand. I mean, again, we're at the table with heathens.
And it's a signatory Kalila. Mm-hmm. And I, as I mentioned earlier, my favorite Kalila ever, I think, was either a Gordon McPhail or a signatory cast strength. And what is this? Mm-hmm. It is a cast strength.
Who loves you? 57%
ABV.
Who loves you?
Bob, you're the best. Thank you for making this happen.
Good boy, Mongo. Here, Mongo, smell. Smell, Mongo. Good boy.
114 proof, distilled October 12, 2010, 11 years old. And this is the key thing. Kalila, 9 to 13 years old, is the sweet spot. If you guys are finding a private distiller, a private bottler, independent bottler, whatever, and you see, don't look for that 12. Look for younger or a little bit older. That's what you want. I think 8, 9, 10 are good, but 9 has been my favorite. This is, what is this? 11. And this is beautiful. The color is a deep mahogany. The nose, wow. It's burnt toffee at a wood fire with maritime sea smoke, saltiness, caramel, rich fruit underneath. Because Kalila's always like taking a marshmallow and putting it in the fire and then waiting until it turns black. And then you let that, you blow it, the fire goes out, and you get that you've got that charcoal briquette on the end of your stick. But underneath there's that sweetness. That's what Kalila is to me. And this is what these guys bring.
And that's point. Now counterpoint, Brent.
I've never chewed a burnt stick that got sweet.
underneath that charcoal, that sweetness
for the man who hates peat and smoke. Okay,
it's oily and rich. It sticks to your palate.
I
mean,
you're the one who said it tasted like a burnt stick, and I agree with you. And I agree. I mean, and I agree with you, but I don't get a sweetness after
underneath
a burnt stick.
You taste that marshmallow and tropical fruit underneath.
This is where. Nope. I am not gonna enjoy it. It smells like a burnt cow field to me, and it tastes like a burnt stick to me. It's just what it was. This one is not for me. It's for you.
Yeah. It's for me.
That's okay.
I get just a wisp of campfire smoke. It's not overwhelming on the nose.
No, it's not overwhelming on the, as far as smoke
and I
goes.
I get a rich peatness to it, but not
on the
in
palate.
Your face. I get a lovely sweet toffee.
It's not like some of these others that we've had that's overly
again,
smoked.
Again, a beautiful, and that's not Kalila's style anyway. So,
right.
A beautiful Kalila. The
Kalila's
signatory.
Lighter smoke.
Well, the signatory Kalila 2010 cast strength collection, we're going to rate a well deserved 4 sips.
We're skipping Justin because we have to go fast.
We're going to Justin for our last one. So,
we're going to talk about signatory Kleinleash 1990.
The moment the world has waited for.
There you go.
Cast strength collection, 43% alcohol, well, 43.7 alcohol by volume, and 87.4 proof, distilled in 1990, 31 years old, matured in ex-bourbon barrel. It's sweet. I got light grapes on the nose, salty on the palate, sweet, dusty, vanilla. The finish was long and narrow, but that was like an hour ago now. Pretty much the same thing. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, I got some green apples on the nose. The nose was more promising than the palate for me. This is going to be one of those ones that the Scotch guys are going to love. The bourbon guys are not going to love.
I mean,
we almost got into a fist fight over this one.
When I smelled, the first thing I got was the green apples and sour grapes.
Yep.
Once I let it get some air and put some water in, I got cookie dough, like specifically shortbread dough. It's got a huge fruit salad on the palate for me. Once you add water, the fruit really comes through. I think Harm said candied violets. That really comes through. Orange peel.
Pear, orange, grape.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's a fruit salad. I got the candied violets, and I freaking love this, and they hated it, or Brent and Justin did. I don't know. God, this split us.
Well, they're heathens.
Did I just say stab them in the eyes?
It was very polarizing. If you're not a Scotch guy,
leave
you're not
going to alive, work. But stab them in the eyes.
Well, we're going to rate the Signatory Quine Leash 1990 Cask Strength Bourbon, in spite of these two, a well-deserved force it.
That's classified.
Well, that's all we have today. I wish we had some more of these, because, God, there was no bad whiskey today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for giving me burnt sticks to chew on.
You're welcome. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. That was fun.
Man, a few words. Thank you, Harm, for at least having a Scotch
guy. I love you, Bob. Damn their eyes.
Aren't they? Yeah. Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And fortunately, we didn't have to do that today. So
speak for yourself.
Man, I'm telling you.
The worst whiskey today was better than some of the best bourbon I've had.
Yeah. Great stuff today. So I love this job.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a one-tan hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.